were. So this is a little bit, again, all these topics are pretty big. So in terms of the schedule, we're going to have to, you know, cheat a little bit and skip some important things, but we'll do the best we can still. I'll try to finish what we're going to do about Arev probably on Sunday, and speak about Evid Kanani also. You know, we're kind of bundling them a little bit. After we finish Arev and Evid Kanani, what we're going to do with them anyway, I'm not going to do Anukhashiv because we pretty much did it. I may make a comment or two, but pretty much we've done it pretty much. So then we'll start just with the next sugya, which is Iskachuli Lechetzi Mekudeshes. So that's Zayin Amud Aleph to Zayin Amud Beis. It also pays, I'm going to make reference to it today also, we'll go to Zayin Amud Aleph to Zayin Amud Beis till Teiku. But of course, you know, add also the next part, which we'll talk about for a minute today also, but Boi Rava, you know, we'll talk a little bit about it in a few minutes, but Basanosin and Makabal, this whole Shaka Bataria also about breaking things until that Teku, Bitka Bapruta, till the Teku before Hau Gavra da Akdish Bishiroi. Okay, that's already different. The question of Shuma, which we'll talk about also, but that's so really the next Sugya is till Zionod Bay, so a little bit after the two dots, and then we'll have an opportunity to speak about the idea of Chatzi Kiddushin, and to revisit a little bit the issue of the language of Hekdesh and so on. Okay, so that is the plan, and we'll just see how much time we have. So in terms of what we've actually been talking about, just to continue with it, so we started by noting the language of the Gemara and the Shaka Matari of the Gemara, and especially when you put together Eved, Kanani, and Arev, how do you just read these Gemaras? What comes out of these Gemaras l'maskar, right? And do you read them literally? And in which case, and how do you read them literally? Right? Lo mati hana liyade, in the case of Arev, and lo mechsra or lo kachaser v'lo midi, in the case of Eved Kanani. Again, if these are all just about the appearance, then that's one thing. If the whole point is Kamash Malan, and that's certainly the way many Rishonim read it, that the Kamash Malan is that in Arev, you know, it is considered Mati, you know, Hana Liyada, and in the case of Eved Kanani, it is considered, you know, Chaser Midi. That's certainly one way to read the Gemara, and that's definitely probably the preponderant way that the Gemara has been read by the Rishonim. We'll document it more as we go along. The opposite way is to say that what the Gemara describes in the beginning is to be taken literally, and the Gemara never changed its mind about that, and that really is the Chiddush. The Chiddush is that you can have Kiddushin when it's Lo Mata Hanali Yada, and you can have Kiddushin when it's Lo Mechser Midi. And that, of course, then the focal point is not, as it is according to the first interpretation, on how to fit in the institutions of Arev and Eved Kanani and Rishum Shneim, like how do they actually accomplish a Mati Hanali Yada or a Mixera Midi. That would be the first perspective. The second opposite perspective would be, in Achanami, Arev is not, and Eved Kanani is not. And the Chiddush of the Gemara is all about Kiddushin. And that would require, as we already discussed, just give me 1 minute. That would require that we focus on a broader meaning of Kiyikach Ish Isha, which we've already seen to be the case, according to some Rishonim. The Tosfos Ri HaZaken here on Zayin Amud Aleph, for example, also takes that position. We already saw this Tosfos Ri HaZaken back in Nasan Huva Amrahi, but in discussing the question of Arev and whether or not you need an Amira Mitzido, so he says basically you need Amira Mitzido for two reasons. You need Amira Mitzido because of the problem of Nasan Huva Amrahi, although we know that's controversial because here, since the Nesina implies an acceptance of the Amira, so maybe you don't. That's the 2 days that we've shown him. Then Tosfos Ri HaZaken says, and you also need an Amira here, because without the Amira, what are you going to have? After all, the Messina, right, is very compromised in this particular case. That's an example, though he doesn't say how compromised. He doesn't say that it's, you know, doesn't necessarily mean it doesn't exist at all. But the point is, so how does Amira help you for a flawed Messina, the Messina Lechud and the Amira Lechud? But this is all part of the idea that we've seen already. Again, it's not the mainstream view, but it is a view that appears in several different Mefarshim, in several different sugyas, and that is that ki ikach ish isha has like a broader meaning, that instead of just being defined, you know, in terms of Nesina or Amira or both or one, you know, particularly, that there's like a more overall impression of, you know, initiative and so on, but that is also flexible. Again, that could be something that's the kula and the chobra in terms of, you know, the impression that it makes. That's a perspective within Adam Chashuv, and that's a perspective also within Evik Kanani and Arev, or the combination of the two, and that's definitely what is being noted. That highlights the perspective that basically says that in Achanami, the categories here in the Gemara are being taken pretty literally, and it's working despite the fact in Achanami. And then, of course, when you combine the two, you know, there's Arev and Evid Kanani, so then, as we said the other day, it sounds like either one would be fine. And then you have a much bigger challenge when you talk about Mishum Shteyim, and that's something that we have to still grapple with more. In between those two perspectives, which then I'll answer questions in just another 2 minutes, in between those two perspectives, namely the view that you really need Mati Ano Aliyada, and you really need Mechasra Midi, and all the Gemara is saying is that the perception here is that these are lacking, but Alpidin, if you really understand Arev and Evid Kanani and Mishum Shneim, well, you really have them. Again, easier to say about some than it is about the other. It's easier to say certainly about Arev than it is to say about Evid Kanani. Evid Kanani, you have to say on some level that there's an Alpidin aspect of it. In Arev, it's much, much easier to say, especially if you go with the Ritva or with certain perspectives on Arev as Kabbalah. So then there is Mati Ano Aliyada. Fine. But those are the two opposite perspectives. In between those is the possibility of saying that, you know, not that there is no Nesina or that there's no Kabbalah, but that these are Nesinas and Kabbalahs that are more problematic, that are compromised in some way, or that the Chiddush is that you can have them compromised. And again, then the Chiddush is either that you can have them compromised, or that Arev and Evid Kanani and these institutions, you know, while they don't completely, fully accomplish the goal, they Alpidin accomplish them sufficiently. So again, if you want to say in that Mati Hana Aliyade is a factor in Nesina, in other words, that the Gemara is not, what Itamar suggested, that the Nesina is there, but it's not a Nesina Shel Hana. And that's the issue in the Gemara. I think that's something that you could definitely say. Again, according to some Rishonim, according to the Rishonim, you can't say. According to the Ritva, it's not something you can say. According to the Rambam, it's not something you can say about Ishus. But according to other Rishonim, maybe even the Tosfia Zaken means something like that. I think Talmud Arajba, which I'll get to, may mean something like that. The Talmud Arajba, just to make it clear, asked the question, I don't think I gave it to you specifically, I don't know if anybody saw it, but Talmud Rajba asked the question from Shtar. There are fewer Rishonim who were bothered explicitly with the language of the Gemara. One, of course, was, just to make it clear, the Ritva. Right? Because of all Rishonim, wouldn't he have the most difficult time, you know, reading the Gemara if you don't think that the Gemara is talking about, you know, the perception of people who don't understand Arev? For sure. Because the Ritva is the one who says that, and partially based on this sugya, right, that Hana is Kesef. So if Hana is Kesef and Hana is there in the case of Arev, so what do the words mean, right, de lamati Hana liyada? What do you mean lamati Hana liyada? Ein lecha mati Hana liyada, right? Gadol mizeh. So the Ritva actually asks the question. Anybody have language just open for the Ritva? Yeah, Alex, go ahead. But you didn't get the cash that they're talking about that is in that is triggering, you know, some of all this. That didn't come to his hand.
Right.
So this is the Ritva basically asking this question, being sensitive to this problem. From his point of view, it's a more acute problem than for anybody else, basically, right, given his view. And he's basically saying, yeah, this is where the Gemara is telling us that don't let perceptions fool you. Just because there isn't cash, you know, the bills aren't ending up in his pocket, or the ring, or the watch, or the whatever it is, right, that the hana is the equivalent of that. The Talmud Rajba, if anybody has that language also, on the other hand, is much closer to the more subtle view. Right? The Talmud Rajba asks the question, well, why do we need mati hana liyada? You know, why is it any worse than shtar, right? Everybody have that line?
Yeah, go ahead.
So that sounds an awful lot like, you know, Itamar's idea, which is there is nesina, but it's not a nesina shel hana, right? So, or what I was saying could also be that, meaning there's a shame love or a shame kabbalas mamon, but there isn't an actual, you know, kabbalas mamon or hana. Again, I don't think those two things are so different. I think they are a little bit different. But basically, the Talmud Rajba, by comparing it to shtar, is saying like that the hana part, you know, or the particular character, quality of the nesina, is what's being questioned, not the fact that there's an absence of nesina. But what's his answer? Yeah, so what's he saying?
By shtar, we're not focusing on the...
By shtar, it's similar to the discussion that we had, you know, again, back earlier, in the Rishonim, right, about also Dav Gimel, right, which is that, and, you know, in the context of the Rabban and so on, like, which is that shtar is not in the parsha of hana. You don't measure shtar by hana. But when it comes to nesina, when it comes to kesef, we do. The factor of hana, or splitting, you know, it's a secondary or a second class or a second rate, whether it's the hana per se, or it's a way of saying this, like, is virtual nesina, but it isn't real nesina. Real nesina, you know, is what we mean by hana. That's how I was interpreting it. But it could be the other one, too. Totally both work. But the Rajba isn't going back on that. He's not saying what the Ritva is saying. It's just, no, it's a Melitza Biyama. We don't really mean it. This is a Gili Milsa.
How does it take a stand on the Ritva's point?
I'm sorry?
How does this Talmud Rajba take a stand on the Ritva point?
He doesn't say like the Ritva that, you know, that this whole thing is a Melitza Biyama. That's not what we mean. He's just saying, you know, in Achanami,
In Achanami,
I'm comparing it to shtar.
The
question is based on a totally different assumption. The Ritva's question is based on the assumption that where is the lack of mati hana liyadeh here? Hana is. And his answer is, right, that's what we're being told here. Don't think that hana is only by receiving, you know, something physical in your hand. This Gemara is like the Av Tiput for the Ritva. This is like a key Gemara. The Talmud Rajba is asking a different question. He's saying,
What? By
asking a different question, it's reflecting a totally different perspective to begin with. Namely, he's asking the question, you can have a proper Kinyan Kiddushin with a proper Mesira and Mesina as we come to expect it without there being a component of Hana. Namely, all the Gemara is saying is that what's lacking here is not Nesina. It's like what you said yesterday, just that I don't think you have to only interpret in terms of Hana as an additional factor. Maybe it's Hana as a reflection of virtual and actual Nesina. But that part of it doesn't matter. That's what the Rajba is reading the Gemara. He's saying the Gemara's not saying there's no Nesina. The Gemara is saying that without Hana there's no Nesina. But that isn't true, because in Shtar, you see that that's not the case. So his answer is, well, in Shtar, the category of Hana is not a way to measure a full Mesinas Ashtar, because Shtar has nothing to do with Hana. It's about the Dibur and the contract.
I thought you were just asking, the Gemara says that it should be Mekudesh Midin Ari. Why is the Gemara saying Midin Ari? Why isn't it saying Midin Shtar?
That's how he says. He's asking, do you have the language? Why is it a star? Where's the star?
And why does Mara have to?
Doesn't say lema midin star. What's the? Meaning, just like that's on the line of Mateh Hanah
Aviyadeh.
Instead of
the Gemara, just
where's the star? There is no star.
Where's the Arev in our case? It's the principle of Arev.
No, so that's what we'll get to. But it's the principle of Arev. But there is no principle.
Why isn't there a principle?
There's no star. There's not a principle of a star. No.
That's
sorry.
The point.
What you see from star, and this is the question, and this is the answer, is that you can have a kesef, you can have a maisa kiddushin without hana. So what he's saying is, in Arev you have that too, because you have a virtual Kabbalah, and you just don't have.
We can't even add in words here because it's copied and pasted from an actual text.
What does that mean? You can't even.
The board is a picture, not like a text.
What?
The thing is a
right. No, Tamar Lepodim and Kadoshim. He's saying Lema Bidin Shtar. Just the question doesn't make any sense.
Your assistant says, "Wash it like."
The question doesn't make any sense if you're. I mean, there is no Shtar here. There's virtual. There may be virtual Hana. There may be virtual. Kabbalah, there's no star. No one wrote anything here.
He's saying it's Midin Shtar.
It's not Din Shtar. There's no Din Shtar here either. What he's saying, Lema, let us say that the way that you can have a Kesef, Beli Hana, is just like you have it in Shtar. And that's the answer. What's the answer? That in Shtar, there's no concept of Hana. I think it's a double punch. I don't think.
The answer is just that you can't interpret a Tain Mono Leponi as Midin Shtar because we're dealing with Kesef already, so it's not that direct.
What do you mean we're dealing with Kesef? Of course, you're dealing with. He knew that in the Hava Mina too. It doesn't work. It's not worth arguing. That's just. To say that he thinks that Arev is Shtar is absurd.
He's not saying Arev is Shtar. He's saying, why does Mara have to justify the case?
He's saying, why do we care about Mati? I don't want it to go too long. I don't want. He's saying, I don't care about Mati Hana Liyadeh as long as you have a formal Nesina, because in Shtar, you don't have a Hana either. Who said that Hana is a prerequisite for Maisa Kedushin when you have the formality of Maisa Kedushin? The answer is, because Shtar, this is exactly the same discussion that we had in the Rishonim about Shtar previously. Namely, Shtar is Mufka, that's the story of the Rishonim on Gimel Amin Aleph. They talk about Isuri Hana, right? Tosa says asks this question, and the Rishonim, including the Talmud Rajba on Gimel and Aleph, give the same answer. Namely, they say, you can't compare Shtar and Kesef because the factor of Hana, and therefore the factor of Isurei Hana, or things like it, are relevant. They could be a shear in the quality of the Kesef. They can't be a shear in the quality of the Shtar. Anyway, I think it's a double punch. I don't see any other reading. Okay. Did you have a question previously? Or that was the question? No. If it's a different question. It's ridiculous. You can't countenance a reading in the Talmud Rajba that makes it absurd. Okay. You have a question? Okay. So that basically what we encounter in this Gemara is basically as a two extreme approaches. In terms of the language of the Gemara, and one, something in between, but the in between has more than one interpretation, one more than one possibility. One is, again, that the focus is on a Nesina Beli Hana, which I think is what the Talmud Rajba either is saying that or is saying, again, virtual Nesina is acceptable even though it isn't an actual Messina. And again, I don't think there's so much difference between those two things. I'm willing to accept, I totally accept that as a possible reading. But what then ends up, I say, is this Gemara very crucial only for Eved and Eved Kanani and for what these things can supply? Or is it a major source in terms of the question of the Sina versus Kabbalah? That will depend on these readings. If you take the middle view, then it's about both. It's about the quality of what you need in a typical Baisa Kiddushin, and it's also about, at the same time, it's also about what you accomplish or what is supplied by the institutions of Eved, Kanani, Shnehem, Arev, Adam Chashuv, etc. The fact that the Gemara in the continuation says, you know, V'chein le'inyan mamon is obviously relevant to that. Again, we've done that already. We know that there's a huge machlokas harishonim regarding that question, right? Whether V'chein le'inyan mamon goes on all the cases or it only goes on Adam Chashuv. The Kesef Mishnah is of the opinion, we'll see, get this in just a minute, in Hilchos Mechira, that V'chein le'inyan mamon goes only on Arev. He's trying to explain why the Rambam doesn't have the din or the equivalent din of Eved Kanani in Hilchos Mechira. Okay, so there's a different, there's a machlokas rishonim how to interpret the continuation of the Gemara, the chein le'inyan mamon. The Ritva, l'shitaso, thinks that the chein le'inyan mamon can only go on Adam Chashuv, but in a different, in an opposite sense. I'll explain in a second. I mean, Rashi says V'chein L'inyan Mamona goes on everything but Adam Chashuv, right? The Ritva says it has to go on Adam Chashuv more than anything else. Why? So, again, and why am I bringing this up now? Because, again, this goes to the same question, meaning, how much of this Gemara, of this Shach Levataria, is about Kiddushin and what Kiddushin requires? How much of this Shach Levataria is about the institutions, you know, in question, Arev Eved Kanani, and so on? The more we think that this is about Arev Eved Kanani, etc., right? So the Chein L'inyan Mamono has one kind of meaning. If we think, you know, it's about Kiddushin, then it's a very important line, in the very important issue in the Gemara, whether or not the requirements of Kiddushei Kesef are parallel to the requirements of Kinyan and Dinei Mamonos. Right. So basically, the Ritva's Ha'ara is that if Arev and Eved Kanani, you know, are institutions that come from elsewhere, but they're being applied to Kiddushin, he's saying, so what's the Chein L'inyan Mamona? We know that already. Right? But at least Adam Chashuv, maybe Adam Chashuv, right, is something unique to Kiddushin. So again, Rashi's view is that Adam Chashuv is something unique to Kiddushin, and it's not the Chein L'inyan Mamona. The Ritva's view is the others are obviously just Dinei Mamonos institutions, so the only one that we could have a safek about is Adam Chashuv. But again, for the Ritva, l'shitaso, this works out very nicely, because for the Ritva, at the end of the day, what we're saying about Kiddushin regarding Arev, right, is not Mechudash. It might be the Makar for knowing, you know, more clearly how this works. But once you know that, it's kesef, hana is kesef and kol Torah kula. There's not even a need for conversion. Let's contrast it for the moment, right, with the view of the Rajba, which we discussed for a second, which we discussed in the context of our previous discussions of Adam Chashuv, right? The Rajba, as we know, defends the shita of Rabbeinu Chanano. Rabbeinu Chanano is of the opinion that hana, right, is a kind of, or the way the Rajba understands it, certainly, we'll say it this way. Rabbeinu Chananel is of the opinion that Hana can serve the function also of a Kli, and therefore can work possibly in Chalipin. Right? And the Ramban and other Rishonim say that that doesn't make any sense at all. Hana is not a Kli. It might be kesef, it might be barely kesef, it might be convertible kesef. Certainly not a kli. And then the Rajba, right, makes a comment where he says, I think the rak is very reasonable, and I think that Tana is a chameleon, right? It can accomplish, it's this, you know, flexible institution that can accomplish what you need. It can accomplish kesef, if that's what you need, and it can accomplish kli, if that's what you need. The same reason it can extend to kli is why it's mechudash in kesef and so on. So all I'm saying is that according to the Rajba, right, in our Gemara, even though the Rajba in our Sugya happens to believe that the Kiddushin and Arev is with the Hana, right, for the Gemara to say, oh, even to discuss the Chein Linyan Mamona is reasonable, because it's not like, he's not saying what the Ritva is saying, which is, oh, the backbone of Kesef is Hana. Hana is like a more elemental Kesef than Kesef is, right? So for the Rajba to say, oh, to have a discussion, the Chein Linyan Mamona is very reasonable, right? But according to the Ritva, of all people, he has the most difficult reading Mati Hana Liyade, because it is, right? And his answer is Inachanami. He also should have the most difficult time in the Chein Linyan Mamona. Like, what do you mean the Chein Linyan Mamona? Of course, right? And it's very interesting that he doesn't like Rashi, and that his whole point is that the Chein Linyan Mamona is Dafka Adam Chashav. Yeah, you had a question before.
It just out of the two, the Ritva and the Rashi, Rashi emphasizes the limud from Arev, Bichol Tarkula, more than the Ritva does. He says that when the second it says Midin Arev, he gives you the Perish.
Okay.
Arev Bichol Tarkula, and the Ritva doesn't even mention that.
Right, no, I don't think, I think for the Ritva, the bigger point is not where it comes from, but what it is. That's for the Ritva. If it's Kesef, it's Kesef. So once it's Kesef, again, but the Ritva on B'chein Linyan Mamona has that comment. He says, I don't need to say B'chein Linyan Mamona because where did Kiddushin get it from? Kiddushin got it from Mamona. Now, the answer to that is, if you're not holding by the Ritva, is that if Kiddushin derives from Arev, but in some way there are differences, right? In other words, in applying it to Kiddushin from Kol HaTorah Kula, there are differences, and then you wonder, V'chein Linyan Mamona, right? That can be an interesting issue. So, for example, right? The typical Arev, we have to talk about this also, the typical case of Arev is in the context of Halva, right? Tein Mana, or Tein Halva Leploni, right, and I will be in Avanochi Erevenu. Right? I'll be in Dine Mamonas. Is that really what's going on here? I assume that's what you were alluding to before when you said, well, you know, what is this? It's not Shtar, that's for sure. But is it a typical Arev for a Halva? Maybe yes, maybe not. Maybe Kol Shekein. So this is an interesting issue to talk about. Let me mention it just for a minute, and we'll get back to it when we finish up. And that is, what's the evidence of that? Well, I'll ask you. Tein manu leploni v'kadosh ani lach. Right? I mean, is that a typical case of Arev or not? Is it would it work in a typical case of Arev? Is it only restricted to a typical case of Arev? I mean the following. Meaning, tein manu leploni, what is ploni getting? A matana or a halva? Right? And Pashas of the Sugya is that it's not limited to Halva. So that's why you could ask the question. I assume that's what you were referring to before also. What is this? It's not a typical case of Arev either. Right? I'm only arguing that, fine, maybe it is, maybe it's not conventional, but it's close enough. There's something to talk about. The Rambam Shita, just to get this on the record also, is what? Matana, right? The Rambam says, and the Gemara doesn't use that expression. You have it? Perkei Halakha Kabbalah?
Ha'isha she'amir atein dinar leploni matana ve'es kadesh ani lecha ve'nasan ve'amir la hari amikudesh esli behanat matana zoshin osati alpich hari zamikudesh es af alpish elohi gi'a laklum hari nehenes birtona she'naisa ve'nehen apiploni biglala.
The Rambam's also interpreting Matia Naliyade in his own way. Right? right? He's also relating to this question, by the way. So we know, I'm not going to go through that again, the Avnei Miluim's reading of the Rambam, Rav Belville's extension in the Rambam. I'm going to say, we've already said a little bit more than that the other day, and I'm going to extend it for a minute, in a few minutes. But the Rambam's also relating to that line in the Gemara that bothered him of Mati Ana Liyadei. But either way, the Rambam says Matana. What's fascinating is, if you look at the Rishonim, any of the Rishonim here relate to this question? Let's say, what point to the Rambam was Halva? Let's say he said, give her a halva. Let's say she said, give him a halva, and I'll marry you. Are you? Correct. And there's a tshuva of the Rajba, right, which the Shoal wasn't so sure about it. What is it? Aleph, Tav, Resh, Kav Dalet. So Aleph, Resh, Kav Dalet. Right, there's a whole discussion of this. But the Ritva here, the Rajba here, the Tshuva Saraj, the Meiri, all of them say this would also work. That would be a typical case of art. But if you look at the Talmud of Rajba, he also says they both work. Right, but he makes it seem, how does it seem in the Ritva, the Rajba, and the Tshuva Sarajba? That also works, or that's the prime case and Matana also works?
The Rajba himself and the Tshuva talks about it's like Nesina Samos versus the Ritva doesn't say that. I mean, the Ritva sounds like it's just an obvious included in this case.
Yes.
Yeah, I think it's different between the Ritva and the Rajba there.
In terms of which is the default?
Yeah, I mean for the Rajba it needs to convert into Nesina Safruta. Versus for the Ritva it might just be automatically included.
Okay, could be. But the point is that the way the Rishonim speak about it sounds like Matana is the pashtus of the Gemara.
Yeah.
Right? And Bahu Adin Hova. Right? The way the Talmud of Rajba speaks about it sounds like the opposite. You have the line there, Adam? And the question is, what is Shita HaRambam?
I'm not sure.
It sounds like the Halva. Oh, if not, I'll find it. I'll bring it in for next time. But it sounds like Halva is the default. And the Matana also works. In the Rambam, it sounds the opposite. It sounds like Matana may be the only thing that works. Right? By the way, what does Rambam say in Hukas Mechira? Moshe?
Matana.
Also Matana. Where's that?
Aleph Vav.
Yeah. Aleph Vav, the Rambam also says... that Arev works. What's the context there?
It's
talking about Kinyone Karka, which are Bekesef, Bishtar, or Bechazaka.
This is in the Kesef category.
And before he speaks about Shtar, by the way, right before he speaks about Shtar, the last words that he speaks about in terms of Kesef, right, the Halacha Zayim is Ketzef Bishtar. Halacha Vav is Ha'omer Lechaber Tein Mana Leploni V'yikne Beisilach Kiven Shenasan Kana Habayis Midin Arev. Right? So it's Tein Mana Leploni. Right? Tein Mana Leploni is not a halva.
It could be.
Purchase. What's that?
It could be.
Well, it's... it's not... It doesn't seem like it is. And the Lashon of Ar Gemara, the Rambam says, is Matana. The Rambam is more explicit in Kiddush. There are two interesting differences in the Rambam and Kiddushin, in Ishus and in Mechira. One is that here he's more explicit about Matana, their mana. But again, where did the Rambam get this halacha from? V'chein l'inyan mamona, presumably. Right? The other thing that's interesting a little bit is, does the Rambam say bidin arev in Hilchos Ishus? Or he just says it works? Right here he says bidin arev. So we'll get back to that. That's what I was talking about the other day. So let's get back to that for a minute. So, I mean, the one in Aleph Tesva. So the Rambam has difficulty. So both are problematic. But I think that this goes back to what we said on Tuesday. Meaning, the Rambam has to, there's a problem in the language of the Gemara. I think the Rambam's Shita is based on his reading of the language of the Gemara, which is the Gemara says Teimar l'poni v'kadosh inolach m'kadoshes midin arev. Lariv av arev lav afagav d'lamati ano liyadei kam mishabei nafshei. Ha'isanami afagav d'lamati ano liyadei kam mishabina u'mekanya nafsha. So how do you get from mishabda to mishabda u'mekanya? That's a linguistic question. For the Rambam, it's a substantive question because the Rambam Perek Yud Aleph Halacha Tezvav, this is what we said the other day, basically says that Arev, or emphasizes the din of Shibud or Hischaivus in Arev. Okay? The Rambam says that if you're Mechayiv, if you're Mischayiv to something, that you are obligated to follow through. And the reason that is so is because of the paradigm of Arev. So you might say, well, if you really think that Arev is a kinyan, right? So, and a kinyan is this ischaibus, you know, so how does that help you for kiddushin? So that's, I think, the Rambam got, that's exactly the Rambam is saying. Since it's mishabed, it's also mishabed u'mekanya. So I think that maybe what you want to say in the Rambam, this is what I said the other day, based on the Machane Ephraim, who's bothered by this question, is that the Rambam in Hilchos Mechira, Perek Yud Aleph, Halacha Tesvav, was telling you one aspect or one critical component, a linchpin component in Arev, and that is the Shibud part. And that's what I was talking about the other day. I don't want to say the whole thing over again. The difference between a Haftacha and a real Hischaibus, and the Bahiyana not only neutralizes the Asmachta, but in neutralizing the Asmachta, or it doesn't say, oh, you know, you have the same level of Haftacha, there's a Haftacha which is an asmachta, there's a haftacha which is binding, which is not an asmachta. The difference is, even have a haftacha with hana, so there's no asmachta problem. That is a way to read all of this. What I'm suggesting for the Rambam is that he's saying something much further. He's reading Gemara Bava Basra as saying that the ahiyana takes a haftacha and turns it into a chalos hischaibus, which isn't just about a future, the implementation of your promise in the future, but it creates, right, a certain chalos, shibud, or ischaibus in the present. So the Rambam then thinks that that is a very powerful thing that can also be the basis of a kinyan mom. That can establish that it's ki'ilu kibel hamos, or it can establish that the hana of you listening to the arev constitutes the equivalent of kesef. If you didn't have that shibud, which is more than a haftacha, which is based on the hana, and which expresses itself also in the hana, then you wouldn't be able to mekanya either. I'm suggesting that's how the Rambam reads the line in the Gemara, Orev is mishabed, i.e., not just mavtiach, not just implementable, but it is a real hishtabdus, hischaibus. It's not a smachta, not because you neutralize the extraneous asmachta, but because you go to the core of these different categories of haftacha, and which is subject to asmachta and shibud or ischaibus, and therefore in a context, right, where it is relevant, it's also mekanya. You can also be ki'ilu kibel. So what I'm saying, just one second. So that's what the Rambam is saying, that if you, in the context of kesef, where you tell the person, tein mana, the tain mana is a ki'ilu iskabalti, is ki'ilu kibel, because of the shibud. Ki'ilu the arev is makabel. And therefore that's kesef. That's considered kesef. In Kiddushin, the Rambam says further, and that is that you have to emphasize the hana aspect, which probably is what turned it into a chalos shibud that can therefore be considered a kabbalah. Because in Kiddushin, you also have to emphasize the Hanah. So what I'm suggesting is that the Rambam has, again, part of this is in the Machane Ephraim, not fleshed out at all. Machane Ephraim is just bothered by, if you hold the Rambam in Perek Yud Aleph, so how can you ever get to Kiddushin? So he says, well, the Ahi Hanah, even for the Rambam, shows that the Shibud is a kind of a kesef, or a kind of a chalos. That is what he's struggling. Did I bring it?
I just understand how that's going to explain all of
Alabav just needs.
The
Arevus begins in Tidus. No. What Rambam's saying in Perkin Alf Halakha Tesvav, the Rambam is explaining that his Chaybus is binding. And he's proving it from Arev. But that doesn't mean that that's the whole story of Arev. It just means that you couldn't have Arev if you didn't have that part of the story. So what the Rambam is deriving from Arev in Perakid Aleph, Halakha Tesvav, is that a Hischaibus isn't just a Haftaka, it's a serious Chalos, and
so
therefore...
that Arev is command to keep
it. No, no, no. And even though he doesn't need it in Perakid Aleph, Halakha Tesvav, he doesn't emphasize the Kikibel part, because he doesn't need it, all he's trying to show there is that the Hischaibus is a serious Chalos. Because that's all that he needs in that. That's what he's talking about in Yudalek Tesvav. Not talking about doing something through Kasev. So the Rambam says, the Haraya, the Shibud of an Arev, proves that you can have a serious Eschaibus, which isn't just a Haftacha, or even just an implementable Haftacha. Just 1 second. And once that is true, so now when we look back and we want to use Arev also as a Kenyan, for example, Perek Aleph Halacha Bav, or Perek Hey Hukos Ishas Halacha Kaf Aleph, then you're going to be able, the linchpin of that Shibud, which is based on being Ahiyana, not just to solve the Asmachta problem in an extraneous technical way, but also to establish that this is a kind of a Kabbalah, a kind of a Kesef, that's going to work itself. Now, here, you might get into an interesting question, and that is, does it matter, like, what would the Rambam's view be? Is this where Matana, right, is different? Let's say I now take the basis of an Arev, the linchpin of Arev, this Shibud, which is not just a Havtocha, but a Chalos, a Schaivus, which is serious, and I want to now apply it, I want to extend it, or I want that to be the foundation for his Schaivus in a Halva. Right? A typical case of a guarantor in a loan, Halva. Right, that's one situation. Then there's another situation, and I want to use the type of Hischaibus of an Arev. Because remember, the original Arev isn't really about a loan, either. Right? It's Anochi Arvenu. Right? So the Gemara thought that it was something that was just a Hischaibus Bialma, right? Produce the guy. We're talking about Balbasar and the work that we did on Tuesday. Okay, so we're going much further than that. And we're saying Bahi Ana. So if that's where the Gemara is saying, oh, the linchpin foundation of a chalos eschaibus, which in Perek Yud Aleph Halacha Tesvav is binding, right? And as a kind of a kinyan, but not kinyan kesef there, in the context of, now how will that express itself in the context of insinuating yourself through this orev kind of a shibud, right, in a halva? That's one question. How will it express itself when you're not just insinuating yourself in a halva, but you are responsible through this shibud of an arev, through somebody else, for somebody else's matana? So according to this perspective, it doesn't always have to be in exactly the same way. That's what I meant about this also having a chameleon-like character. Right? But I don't mean it can be just anything you want it to be. What I mean is that there's a certain kind of a shibud. The point is, as a shibud, there's a hanav, which makes this shibud have a certain category, certain status. Then there's an interesting objective question, both in halva and in matana, and that is, if I am the motivation for somebody giving someone else a matana, they're doing it at my behest, right? And I'm, you know, this kind of a quid pro quo for it, too, from my point of view, right? If that's what's happening, right, does that also make me a virtual lova in Hilchos Malva Velova? Or does that make me a Mekabel Matana or a Ke'ila Mekabel Matana when it's an actual full-fledged gift? That's an interesting question. Could you be Mechalik between those two? Maybe. So that's where the Meiri, Rajba, Tshuvas HaRajba, Ritva, Rambam, Talmud HaRajba, interesting question comes in. Namely, does it matter, which is easier, which is an easier arvus to accomplish? A halva or a matana? If you ask me that question, obviously the easiest answer is to say, well, both. I would say it depends. If you look at it from a Ritva point of view, namely that Arbus is just a method of generating Hana, which is the equivalent of Kesef, right? Every case of Arib is, oh, she listened to me, I'm so happy, Schok Lefanai, Rekod Lefanai, right? You hear the chime of the, you know, what's a thing in the store? The cash register? You know, so it's like, oh, $10 worth of Hana, right? So does it really make any difference whatsoever whether or not I'm pushing her to lend money, or I'm pushing to, you know, to give a present, right? In the end of the day, that it's, again, you could argue quantitatively, like, it's even more impressive, I'd say, Kol Shekein, if she's going to give somebody a present because I told her to, she's not even going to get it back, right? She's going on a bigger limb. Her bigger hiskaibus is my bigger hana, I would think. From the perspective that it shouldn't make a difference, or it should make a difference in that direction. But if we emphasize ki'ilu kibel, a virtual Kabbalah, which is easier to accomplish? A virtual Kabbalah as a love in the case of Arev, or a virtual Kabbalah as a Mekabel Matana? I'm not sure. I think it's an open question. On the one hand, you know, virtuality is maybe easier accomplished in Loveh because, you know, it's not Mukhlat. I'm a Loveh in the sense that, you know, I might end up paying for this, so maybe that gives me a status as a Loveh.
You don't need that in this case.
Don't need what?
I mean, even if you want to say that the case in Kishtav Zayin is the case of Kimar Lakoni Kharas Abba,
yeah,
it doesn't mean that Isha is becoming an actual guarantor.
Because
it's
midin
Arev, not actual Arev.
Wouldn't it be that...
She's a
thing. No, he's
a thing. Do me a favor and lend money to this fellow. So, it's not...
Is it? No, he's the Arev. The Baal's the Arev.
Tain Manu Laponi?
She would be the Arev. Tain Manu... I'm sorry. Tain Manu Laponi. Right, she's the Arev. Right.
She's the midin Arev. She's not. I mean, even if you take our case of Mar as a case of Hava,
what are the Rishonim?
She's not a guarantor on the loan.
Isn't she?
No.
In the Chuvah Sarajma case?
Even the Chuvah Sarajma case. The question is whether you.
I'm not so sure. Or you mean it's the Hayana? Even if you hold the Kaaba? I'm not so sure. I think I have different formulations. I'll look at that. I'll try to bring that in on Sunday. I think that's on Sunday.
Yeshua thinks that she's becoming a Lova, and this is Hanasa.
Right.
She's not
the Yeshua.
Yeah.
It's a real love. She becomes a real love. Right. And other, it's some of the Rishonim doesn't sound necessarily that way. I think that's an open question. But either way, whether she really becomes a love or not.
I mean, she may become a...
In that case.
But she becomes an Arev?
She's an Arev.
I mean, she's a Midin Arev. She's not an Arev.
Well, I mean...
That's the whole point. The Midin Arev is just Midin that you could be Mishat, you could be command the Kabil without actually receiving.
But how? What does she command the Kabil in this case? She's command the Kabil a loan.
But she doesn't have any liabilities.
No, so the question would be, I think this is the question that I think of the Machan Ephraim or some of the other Achronim deal with, and that is, do you, in this case, do you even have the same pay rates? In other words, let's say the loan is for five prutos. Two prutos. A pruta. Right? Is that enough to be mekudeshes with as a virtual mekabel? Or in terms of the ahiyana?
That's probably on the question whether it's his issue receiving or sana.
Right, so I'm just saying whether we're going to treat it this way. Either way, so whether we're going
to... I'm saying that you can't, there's no way to... There shouldn't be any motivation to read the top of Zayin Amar Aleph as saying that she's actually becoming an Arev.
I'm not so sure. I think Pnei Yeshua thinks she really is.
How's Pnei Yeshua saying that?
He says that.
That what? She's now...
She's like a Lova. She becomes like the Lova in this case. If he can't get the...
In this case, she just came on a loan. Do me a favor, lend money. She goes to the bank and says, do me a favor, lend money to my friend Shimon.
Mm-hmm.
So she now has liabilities because she was.
I think so.
And in the case of Matana, she has no
liabilities. Well, Matana, there's no liabilities because that's what a Matana is. I think it is an interesting question. I don't think it affects what I'm talking about.
The way we set it up a second ago is that there's more of a tzad to say that he didn't already work for halal.
In general,
let's
leave kiddushin out of it for the second. Okay, so I think in kiddushin that's a secondary argument, but let's leave it out for a second. I'm making a bigger statement. What I'm saying is, in the question whether or not what I'm saying for the Rambam and for others maybe also, is that there's something called the Shibud Eskaigus, which is the linchpin of Arev, but it doesn't end there because of the nature of this Eskaigus and the nature of the framework in which it's expressed. So then there's another question, and that is, does this Eskaigus that he have turn him into a virtual something? Now, I'm saying, does it matter what that something is? Is it, if I asked you just objectively, there's something called, if we're assessing a virtual Lova or a virtual Mekabel Matana, right? Is it conceivable to be mechalek between them? What turns somebody in? What's the criterion of somebody? How easy is it? What's the criterion of turning somebody into a virtual mekabel matana and a virtual loven? Forget about the arts again, dav zayinim and aleph right now. Right? We'll take this an objective case, a typical case of arev in a loan, right? Extend the loan and I'll back it up. Okay, as opposed to give matana. On my say-so, give a matana to Plony. Right? If in both of those, we have both of those cases out there in the world of halacha, right? And I'm asking the question, in assessing whether Arev in those cases is pure just shibud, without an asmach, the problem, okay? Or pure bahiyana deshamale, ritva type, cash register, kesef, the equivalent of hana. Or something more in between, but more subtle, namely, that you now become Ke'ilu, instead of, she didn't give the money to me, she gave the money to Plony, the loan. Or she didn't give the matana to me, she gave the money to Plony. Oh, he, forget about she. This person gave the money to Plony, this person gave the loan to Plony. But since they did it at my behest, is it like they gave it to me, you know, but they put it, you know, instead of putting it in my pocket, they put it in his pocket? Or instead of giving it the loan to me, they gave it to him. I'm saying in that question, Gufa, that whether you can be a virtual Mekabel or a virtual Lova, can you be Mechalek? Sure. On the one hand, you'd think that, well, it's harder to become a Mekabel than it is to become a Lova, a Kabel Matana, because Matana, by definition, is a long, you know, one is a Schaibus. You know that you know, and it's much more limited. And the other is a Israel bailus and ownership. On the other hand, you know, maybe the dynamic of shibudim of shibud aguf, you know, is such that only the real lova is a lova. Whereas a mekabel matana, if I want to give you a gift and you say give it to my favorite charity, so that's like giving me a gift. I'm not giving you a gift. I'm just giving it to your favorite charity, or you're that's your kabbalah. All I'm saying is that's an interesting open question. So then, does that affect how Arev works in each of these cases? I think yes. Or let me say it a slightly different way, on another level. If the Shibud is the linchpin, you know, from which this question of whether you're considered a Mekabel flows or doesn't flow, so maybe it only works where there's a real Shibud. Like, is there a Shibud in a case of an Arev who wants to trigger a Matana? See, on the one hand, the Hana part of it, let's say, and the Mukhlatut of it is greater in the Matana. But there's no Shibud in a way, right? There's just the action. There is a Shibud when I commit, I'm going to stand behind this loan, right? So then I'm mischayev myself to the repayment of the loan if he can't pay it. So, and ironically, you might say, you know, that if the yisod of being a makabel, a virtual makabel, right, is, again, if it's the ritva, I don't think any of this should matter. If the ritva, it's just, he respects me, you know, he's doing what I said. Unless, the only thing that the ritva you might add, on a technical level, and you might need it for the miri at some point, is, oh, he trusts me. If it's, he's doing my behest, then giving a matana, which you don't even have to, you know, which he's not going to get back, is a much bigger reflection of admiration and respect, right? If it's trust, if it's the complement of the trust, then that's only in a case of a halva, right? If we're talking about the shibud being a linchpin to something else, then you might also, I don't think it's true for the Rambam, you might have said, well, only if there's a real shibud. Right? Or are we saying, no, that since you're invoking Arev or this kind of idea, so, you know, that's part of the connection of the relationship. So all I'm trying to show is that this discussion in the Rishonim, whether or not you can go from halva to matana, is much more complicated than you might think. Maybe, in light of that, it's interesting to suggest. I mean, you want to be medayik. I think tein mona leploni, if it means the matana here, and that's the chen linen mamona, that's probably what the Rambam means in Ovas Mechira. But I'm not 100% sure. I hear what you're saying. It's true that he says matana in Ishus, and it's true that he says, is that because of the hana component? There are three differences between, let's just sum up, because I want to move on to some other things and connected to this. There are three discrepancies. Put it this way. You have the Rambam in Hilchos Mechira Perek Aleph Halacha Tasvav, right, which is talking about pure Schaibus, and which makes Arev center stage. If we were to learn from there that that's all that Arev is, and this is the way that most Achronim read the Rambam there, then you would say, oh, he read the Gemara in Bava Basra that Hana neutralizes the Asmachta problem, it's Shibud, end of story. The problem is it can't be end of story because it's hard to read. It's great to read the Reisha. Maybe even the Rambam got it from there. You know, here on Zayin Omid Aleph, it's great to read the Reisha. Or even demonstrates Shibud. It's hard to see how Shibud turns into Makanya if you say that. And Kesef at that, that's what Moshe was pointing out, correct? Halakha Bav is still Karka Niknes B'Kesef. Halacha Zayin is the transition to Shtar. And then comes, of course, Chazaka. So, it's hard to say that only in the Rambam. That is what the Machane Ephraim, the others, they're all asking that. They're saying, Kesef, Karka requires Kesef, and Kiddushin certainly requires Kesef. Where's the Kesef? Show me the Kesef. Kinyan, Hiskaivus, is one thing. Where's the Kesef? Right? So, then you have these two other Rambams. Right, Mechira. There are some other Rambams in Hilchos Ma'avav Lava too, but Hilchos Mechira, Perek Aleph Halacha Tesvav, in which the Rambam is saying it's Kesef. But there, our interesting thing is, you're right. He says mana. Although to me, in light of the Chen Linyan Mamona and the Ishus, I think it probably means matana. But he does not say the word matana. I think that's interesting. Even if it's mana, he's not emphasizing it. Even if that's what he really means. Number two, he says midin arev, which he doesn't say in Hilchos Ishus. Right? Those are both interesting. In Hilchos Ishus, there's no Arev word. It is Matana. And of course, you add the other element, and that is he's Mekadosh with the Hana. So is that because when you need Kesef Shel Hana, again, because of Rav Elul considerations, so it isn't exactly the typical Arev, so he's not saying Din Arev, but it's more than Din Arev, and therefore Dafka has to be Matana. Right, but also you're not going to call it's more than midin arev. It's the din of arev which is transmuted into ishus. But then, to answer the Ritva, you know, question, what do you mean b'chein l'nyan mamona? We all got this from mamona. That's why the Ritva says only out of kashu. My answer to that would be no. There are two different things going on in the Gemara. The Gemara is saying that we got Kiddushin from Arev. From which Arev? From the Arev of Shibud. From the Arev of Halva. Where it's not clear that it has to be Kinyan. Right? And now we're saying, B'chein Linya Mamona. By the way, if it works for Kesef Kiddushin, it'll work for Kesef Karka. Now, what happens in Halva according to the Rambam? Is that also Kilu Kibel? Or since you don't need Kilu Kibel, you only have Kilu Kibel Matana, because you don't need it, and the Eschaivus expresses itself, or maybe you just don't have it, because maybe in Halva to be Kilu Kibel, you have to be the recipient of the Shivat Aguf. I don't know whether it's to say it's better or worse. I don't know. I think that leaves an opening to explain some other things in Malva Velo. What I'm saying is the Rambam has a complex posture in these three Rambams, but I think a complex posture which actually is Meduya Kanar Gemara, and which actually makes a lot of sense. Okay. Was there another question? Yeah.
What do we do about the Rambam in Mechir Chafei Beis, though, who's quoting the Gemara in Bava Basra?
That's the Arev Tchila business, yeah. So again, is that his way of saying that even in Milva it's Kabbalah? Or is that his way of explaining what he says in Yud Aleph Tetzvav, which is that this is a real Eschaivus? Hard to know. Right? I mean, that he quotes Ahiyana. He quotes Ahiyana. He has to quote Ahiyana. What?
He doesn't even mention the Eschaivus part. It sounds like it's all about the Ana.
It could be. Well, but all I'm saying is when you put the Rambams together, right, that might be his way of saying, well, of course it's the Shibud, but this Shibud, you know, either he's saying, Ahiyana, this is just, you know, Havtacha, it's a Shibud, and it's exactly Yud Aleph Tetzvav, and that's all we need here. Or what he's saying is, yeah, to be a Lova, to be, Eschaiv was for a Lova, you really need to be a kind of Kilo Makabel. So here, you know, it's important to express the other element of the Ahiyana. I'm not sure. And then, that would be like Mechira Aleph Vav. I'm not sure if it's like Mechira Yud Aleph Tetzvav, is what I'm saying. That's kind of what I was alluding to before. In Milva, is it basically Yud Aleph Tetzvav? Or Yud Aleph Tetzvav is a linchpin for everything, and you still need a Kilo Makabel in Milva, in Mechira, and in Kiddushin. Okay? But either way, there are three different things, just if you read our text carefully. There's Shibud. There's Shibud, which somehow turns into also a basis for Kinyan. And then there's a Gemara that says, V'chein linyan Mamona. When it came from Mamona, the Ritva's question is strong. Again, his conclusion is his conclusion. I'm only saying, well, you know, if it does make sense, and then you have, oh, we're talking about Milva, we're also talking about Milva, we're only talking about Matana. All these kind of highlight the problem. Okay, this question of the nature of Arev, so just to flesh out a little bit more some of the Shitos, and we still have to talk about the Lashonos of the Rishonim here. But we already know a little bit, right, that some Rishonim here, just to, tentatively to get it in already, the Rishonim here clearly register, right, broadly, two perspectives. Right, one is that the Kiddushin is with the Keseth itself, right? The Rosh, you know, the Rach, again, the Talmud Rajba, a whole group of Rishonim, the Matana that was given, right, or the Dmei Halva, whatever it was, that was given as a result of this discussion, that is the Keseth Kiddushin. Right, that's the view of a group of Rishonim. And then there is another group, the Ritva, the Rajba, right, Tosui HaZaken, the Meiri, who say that the Kiddushin is with the Hana. The Rambam is part of that group, but for the Rambam, right, I think it's part of this Setzer Bel Zahara, it's Kesef Shel Hana, right? And the Hana is not mentioned in Ochus Mechira for that reason. Maybe that's, again, part of the discrepancy of Matan or Midin Arev too. I'm not sure. Yeah.
It's so obvious that the Rashba is talking about a complete Hana like all the Rishonim. So then today the Rashba is going to disagree with most of the Rishonim who think there is Hana and say Zorok Man Eliyam isn't Mikudash.
So the Zorok Man Eliyam is a very tricky thing for a lot of Rishonim. There's a lot of inconsistency in Zorok Man Eliyam. So what do you want to say for the Rashba?
I mean, there on Dal Chet, it sounds like he focuses a lot on the idea that it's as if the person accepted himself. Then jumps back, and it's really the Dibura. Then he goes back and forth over there.
Yeah, there's a lot of discrepancies in a bunch of Rishonim, both on this issue and in their formulations. On Dav Ches, Dav Yud Tes, in Baba Basra. We'll try to get to those. I don't have answers for all of them. It may show that there's a lot more fluidity, but again, this is like, no, it's what I'm trying to say about the Rambam, which is that the Hahiana and the Shibud and the Ki'ilu Kibel, right? That instead of seeing them as we sometimes do, and as certainly many Mefarshim do, as three completely different factors, and the question is, which is the Mechayev and Arev? Is it the Hana, Ritva-esque? Is it the Shibud, Perek Yud Aleph Halacha, Tezvav in isolation, right? Is it Ki'ilu Kibel, like the language of the Rush, in the just to pick out, right? So normally we look at these as three mutually exclusive perspectives. Obviously, what I'm trying to suggest in the Rambam is a lot more subtle. I think it's necessary. I also think it's logical. I also think it fits in other patterns of things that we find, which is that Hahiana, Ki'ilu Kibel, and the Shibud, right, are not three separate factors in a way. It's all a kind of special category of Shibud or Hischaibus Arev. It's a Din Arev, right? So once that's true, so the Ki'ilu Kibel and the Hana part, that's, I might say, well, again, the way of looking at it in isolation is to say, oh, he's responsible for the Halva, he's responsible for the Matana, like I said before. So he didn't put it in my pocket, he put it on the Sela. We have, in addition to Zerok Liyam, Nasan Ala Sela, Nasan La Kelev, right? And whether you're Mechav, fine. So one way to look at it is, it's not so hard to explain that he's a Lova. Or say in the Shibud, even on the Shibud, what do you mean? But the money was given to the... The Shibud Aguf is not about who got the physical. So the Matan Mos was to the Lov, the real Lov. Okay, but maybe the Shibud Aguf is really to the Arev, because that's the reason that you lent it. Right? So you could, in isolation, say that there's a good reason to think of in Matana and in Hava, even though I think it could be Mechalik, Ki'ilu Kibel. Right? The Hana per se of listening to me, oh, you trust me, oh, you regard me, oh, you validate me, right? Identity politics, you know, at its best, you know, without the chisronos. So, can you say that independently? Sure. I mean, the Ritva will, I think. But what I am saying is, and the Shibud part, no, for sure. But what I'm saying is that once you look at it a little bit differently, you might say, you know what? I mean, he's a virtual Makabel. He's not the real Makabel. There's an aspect of Shibud Aguf. There's another aspect which is missing. And the same is true of Matana. As for the Hana part, haha. Now, we don't need much to get there, meaning anybody who holds that Hana, right, isn't the elemental, you know, equal or even basis of Kesef, anybody who doesn't hold that strong formulation of the Ritva, can say, okay, there's Hana on plenty of things. Do we not know from Mekadesh, you know, Betrumos and Meisers and Shvias, and from the different views on Rakod Lefanai, and, you know, and Adaber Aleich Leshilton, and Kiddushei Bia, and so on and so on and so on and so forth from the things that we've done. Do we not know that there are plenty, and Arvach Lazimna, and Hanas Mechilas Mil, the main ones that we've been doing? Do we not already know that there's plenty of good reason to think that even though there is actual Hana out there, that it doesn't qualify legally for Kesef because it's eclipsed, it doesn't have formal status, it's too close, it's too distant, whatever it is. So once you think in those terms, right, so again, I don't want to make everything more confusing, but I'm just saying for some shitos to explain, what you might say is, it's not just all objective, he's a Mekabel. And it's not all objective, oh, there's Hana. Maybe these two things are necessary for each other. There's a certain, necessary symbiotic relation. He's a Mekabel because he also has some Hana. Or that Hana is significant a little bit. Isn't that what you were trying to say to me?
Yeah.
That's what Yosef was trying to say to me the other day about the Stira and the Ritva. Because the Ritva here is clear about the idea of the elemental Kesef, right? And yet...
In all of us,
he talks about Kibel. Of all people in the world. So again, it's always hard to know whether or not we should... I mean, to say that the Rambam in Hilchos Mechira is responsible for what he wrote in Perek Aleph and Perek Yud Aleph and also for what he wrote in Hilchos Ishus, you know, is for sure obvious. But, you know, it's a little less obvious if you're talking about the Ritva or the Rajba or even Rashi, you know, from one Masechta to another. You can always say he changed his mind. You can always say that he felt it fit in better with the local sugya, maybe there are different views, right? There are always things to say. Nonetheless, you know, the default when we have our choice, you know, especially when something is said as strongly as what the Ritva says here, so you would try to be miyashe. Again, the Rush, they're like stiras, I think is kind of what you're asking. Oh, the Rush says here you're mekadesh with the kesa, and the Rush says that zrok liyam, you know, is fine. Well, he has two days.
Yeah,
okay. Or maybe it only works l'shitaso because it's ki'ilu kibel and then zorak liyam. Right? We'll get to that also. But we'll talk about it. On Sunday we'll try to, you know, finish this up. But all I'm trying to say is that either they changed their mind or they thought that different sugyas implied different things. That's possible. Or it's what I'm saying now, which is, you know, which is that there is no, even though these are different emphases and they could stand alone, and in some Rishonim they do stand alone, right? Maybe the Chiddush of some of the Rishonim, even if it doesn't go as far as what I'm suggesting for the Rambam, is that if there were no independent Hana, then you would also not be considered a virtual Makabel. Or if you were not also, in some level, considered a virtual Makabel because, you know, instead of putting it in your pocket, it went in his pocket, but in some, then the Hayana would be too extraneous or too not legally concrete. So that, I think, is a way to look at it. Yeah?
How come the Rashba in the Shut, he says that if she says extend Tony loan and I'll have a that won't work? Why?
Yeah, so I'll talk about that case also. Well, let's leave it for now. But since you raise it, I mean, I'll get to that when we get to it. But there are numerous other, let's say, in these three perspectives, which for sure all exist, namely, Ischaibos, certainly in a regular Arev of a Milva, they certainly exist. And again, I'm mistopic whether the Rambam only requires that part, you know, for the Milva part. I'm just not sure. But of course, are numerous Nafkamina. So one could be the Zrok Manu Yom, but that we have to figure out because there are a lot of Stiras. But again, the idea being that there has to be some sort of a risk. I could say, oh, you put it in, putting it in his pocket is putting it in my pocket. If you say, you know, throw it into the river, it's hard to say that. Again, there's a line in the Rush where he says, oh, it's Ki'ilu, he put it in his, he was Makabel, and then he threw it into the river. Fine. That's a little bit more, that's his way of trying to keep that paradigm. But certainly you can understand, well, if we had our druthers, we would think that Makabel requires a Kabbalah. If he's a Makabel, then there has to be a Kabbalah. If it's a Hepsid, an Ibud, that's not going to work, we would think. But there's a lot of inconsistencies on that question. That's one. The language that you use for Kiddushin could be another. But we've already seen in the Rambam that that's a little tricky because maybe there's a din of Kesef Shalana on there if you have to emphasize differently. But that's certainly another potential nafkamina, right? The language that you use for Kiddusha. Another one might be the question of ribbis. And that in two senses. An Arev incurs an Isur ribbis if he's an Arev in a ribbis law, right? Is the Isur ribbis of an Arev more like, you know, other enablers, we'll call them, the Adin, the Sofrim, you know, that kind of din? Or is it more like the Isur of the Loven? An interesting question. It's definitely not the Isur of the Loven. We can also understand that. I mean, no matter what you say about an Arev, you know, maybe the real Makabel Matan Mo is still the Lova for certain things, and certainly being, you know, Machshil or being a part of the, you know, the actual Matan Mo's part of Ribbis, questions how much the Matan Mo's that triggers Ribbis, that you could be Mechalek between, let's say, the Lova and the Arev regarding the Isur of Ribbis, no matter what position you take about the Arev, is clear. But I'm just raising this, there's literature on this. Nonetheless, if he's somebody extraneous, you know, then he, you know, then his Isur is definitely more like the others. Is there a difference in Ribbis? Again, we're not going to do this now because we're not learning Ezer Nasha. Is there a difference between a kablan and an arev? An arev kablan and an arev? Or mimi she'erza, or mimi she'erza tchila? When it comes to the question of isaribis? They're interesting questions. Let's say you have an arev and a non-Jewish, a Jewish arev and a non-Jewish loan. Because you have a lova who's a non-Jew, there's a heteribis, and you have an arev who's a Jew. Is that a problem of ribis for the arev? Right? So Tosis and Bab Metzia, an ayin aleph from a base, seems to say that it's not. He also may say that an arev and a non-Jewish loan is different than an arev and a Jewish loan. Right? There are a number of factors here. But it tells us here at the bottom of the page, Yisrael Hamalva Lo Basar Arva Azil, Ala Basar Lova Azil. Vila Yifra Nachri, Yifra Arev, Akaran Varibis, the Hashnu de Mosef Nachri. So is that because the din of Malva Basar Lova Azil Na Basar Arva is different in this case? Or is that just a statement in general that an Arev is not the first person you go after? Right? So the Gra, either way, notes that Nir B'Enei HaRaivit Cholek Alzeh V'Ein Barat, and there's a whole discussion about this. The Ritva in Bav Metzia, Samach Tasamid Beis, has an important sheet about this as well. I mean, there are numerous issues here, right? It's not only the issue of Arev, but the point is that if an Arev is an extraneous Mischayev, or Tzahi Ana, and there's no din of Kabbalah at all, certainly there's no Ribbis Daraisa even to talk about. That's a point, because the din of Ribbis is always in the relationship between the Lova and the Malva. If he's a virtual Lova, right, and maybe there's no other Jewish virtual, real Lova, then that might be an important case. How much is the arbus worth? Like I mentioned before, right? Is it worth the amount of the loan or the amount of the matana? If for whatever reason there's a nafkamina, then we need to know the skum, right? Is it $100 because that's what the loan of the matana is? Or is it bahianon, you know, and worth much less? That would be an important question. So there are numerous, getting back to the two Gemaras that we still didn't discuss, our two Gemaras. Let's just get them on the record and we'll stop here and then we'll finish with this on Sunday. But the Gemara in Shavuos, what's the Gemara in Shavuos?
It's about if the guy, the Sowin or not.
Is he like what?
He is Sowin of the Lova.
Yeah, what's a case? Correct. If you have a special din in a case where there's an arev, right, is the arev subject to that same din? Do we say arev basar love ozil or not? The Gemara there tests the relationship between how separable are the arev and the love. What's the case?
If the malva died, the love died, and then before the malva swore, he died.
If the Lova dies, so he has children. So the children are Yisomim. So the Malva owes, there's a Din D'Rabbanan that a Malva cannot collect until he makes a Shvua to the Yisomim. That's a Mishnah in Shavuos.
Yeah.
Right? That Nixay Yisomim require a Shvua. Then the problem is, it's like a plague, right?
Yeah.
Then the Malva dies. Oy. So the Malva owes the Shvua D'Rabbanan to the Yisomim. And then he dies. So if that's the order, that's the sequence in which this happens. So now, seemingly, the B'nai Hamalva, the second group of Yisomim, now it's Yisomim and Ayisomim, but the Yisomim and Ayisomim, can they be Nishba what the Malva would have been Nishba? That's the question. Oh. So Rav Shmuel came up with this big Kiddush. That what?
That they could.
that they cannot. Ein adam morish shvua labana. Correct? So, and Rashi tries to explain, it's, he can't be morish the mamon to this kind of mamon sheesh po shvua, or because it's totally different shvua. Right? In one case, the shvua is, oh, I don't, as far as I know, Papa never got it back. He would have made a different shvua. He would have said, I can, you know, hereby declare unequivocally that I never received any payment. They just have to say, you know, we never saw him, you know, hoarding this thing, whatever. So that's the din. Then the Gemara says about Ravu Shmuel that Havu de la Losif Allah. Very fascinating Gemara, right? The Gemara says that Amrav Yosef, one second. Ikla Rav Nachman Lasura, Ola Gabi Rav Chizda, Varaba Bar Rav Huna, Amru Le, they said to him, Le Simar Na'akr Lahad Rav Shmuel. Come and, you know, and abrogate the ruling of Rav Shmuel. So he said to them, Amr Lahu, Ichbili Vasai, Kalhani Parsi Le Mikra Lahad Rav Shmuel. That's what I came here to do, right? Obviously didn't think it was such a good psak, sounds like, but he said, I'm not going to abrogate Rav Shmuel's psak. I don't feel that that's, you know, for me to do. So, so then the Gemara says, Micha, what does that have to do with us?
So then the Gemara brings other cases.
Pogem Shtaro, right, Umeis Yarshin, Nishbayin Shvus Yarshin Venotla. It's also Shvud Rabbanan. You have a star. Right? So normally when you have a shtar, you shouldn't have to be nijba at all, but if you're pogam shtar, if you admit that, you know, part of the shtar has been paid, so then you have to take a shvua, snijba venotel, in order to receive the rest of the payment. Let's say it's pogam shtaro, and then you die, so then they would have to, the children would have to take this shvua. So, ha'ud ha'shachav ha'shavik, oh, so that's what pogam shtaro, mei siyarshim, nijbaim shvua siyarshim, because hovid lalo sefala. So then the Gemara wants to know, ha'ud ha'shachav, go ahead, Vishavik Arva. Because here it's a situation where what? Exact same situation, meaning there's a Malva, a Lova, and an Arev. The Lova dies, therefore there should be Gvia from the Yisomim, right? And then the Malva dies, so now it's a problem. Normally you'd say, but Rav Shmuel, if there's no other complication, you'd say that the Yisomim don't pay the Bnei Lova. However, in this case, there's an Arev. Right, so why not say Havad Lalosif Allah, and take the Shvua, right, and collect from the Arev. So the Gemara thought that that's a great example, right? So the Gemara says, "Amalei Rav Huna, Bered Rav Yeshua, Papa, go ahead." Yeah. So, what are these 2 days in the Gemara? Right, the Gemara originally thought that if you say Havad Lalosif Allah, then collecting from the Arev is not limited by the dinim of collecting from the Lova. And then Gemara's answer is, what are you talking about? Isn't the Arev in lieu of the Yisomim? Correct? So it's hard to know whether or not, I mean, one, there are two issues here. One is the din of Havad Lalosif Allah. Like, how do you really understand Havad Lalosif Allah? Is it more of an arbitrary, we don't really understand, or we don't have deep conviction about Rav Shmuel, you know, but we are mechabed, you know, the precedent of their psak, we'll stop in one more minute, and as such, you know, we're not going to repeal Rav Shmuel's primary psak here. Havad Lalosif Allah. Right? Now, that could take one of two, you know, directions. One is to say that, you know, it's a matter of kavod, and anything, you know, different, anything that differs in any, you know, significant way, technically significant way, from Rav Shmuel's case is not a bizayon kavod of the paradigm case, and as such, you know, havad lalosif allah. Right? Or do we mean to say, when it comes to this particular shvua and this particular case, you know, we either agree with Rav Shmuel, or at least we're not going to be cholek in Rav Shmuel. That's how arbitrary is the Havad Lalosif Allah. That in turn is going to dictate how we understand the Havamina and the Maskana of this Gemara. The Gemara originally thought that if you say Havad Lalosif Allah, that an Arev is sufficiently different from the real Yisomim, from the Lovim, that it's not a problem. When the Gemara said no, are they recalibrating Havud Lalo Sifala? They're saying, listen, come on, we're not going to... It's not a technicality, it's respect for the application of this Shavua. Right? Or are they basically... Is it two deus about Havud Lalo Sifala? Or is it two deus about whether an Arev is a separate Mechayev? Or really B'Makom Yesomim? Maybe the Machlokas is whether he's a virtual Lalova, or he's only a virtual lova as a stand, or he's, you know, the real lova, or the virtual lova as an extension of the real lova. Hard to know. But certainly, it makes a lot of sense that these 2 days in the Gemara are touching on the core of what Ari is about. Similarly, you have the Gemara in Makos. What's the Gemara in Makos? Yeah?
It's talking about a case where we have
the Shnei Edim on a Din Torah are krovim to the Arev, but they're not, but they're rechokim to the Malva and the Lova. So that's Eloi, the Tuvia, Krevi, the Arva, right? So what did the Gemara originally? The Gemara had 2 days there too. Originally the Gemara thought, fine, no problem, right? Then the Gemara says, since if they can't pay, you're going to go after the Arva. So how does the Gemara say it? What? Yeah. So here again, in the case of the Gemara, as I said the other day, in the Gemara in Shavuos, the Gemara is weighing the relationship between the Lova and the Arev. Right? Are they the same or not? Or what applies to one applies to the other. Right? Here, the Gemara is talking about a slightly different issue, but it's very similar. The Gemara wants to note, if the fact that the Malva will collect from the Arev, right, does that make Korva to the Arev a problem? Right? Either way, we seem to paskin that Arev is sufficient to create a psalatus. But here too, it's a little bit hard to pin it down. It depends a little bit on the nature of psule korva liedus, right? The more you think of psule korva liedus in pragmatic terms, you know, chashash sheker, even institutionalized chashash sheker, it's hard to understand the hava mina, because in the end of the day, I mean, the arev might really have to pay up. So if you're worried that people are going to lie, you know, in order to safeguard their relatives, or the other way, lie in order to, you know, a little payback to their relatives, you know, that's like, I think I mentioned this, the Rambam and the Sefer Achinuch, you know, I don't know what their family, you know, realities were, but when the Rambam talks about chashash sheker, the Chinuch talk about chashash sheker, they talk about opposite chashash shekers. Anyways, but that aside, the point is that the Arev is, you know, his financial well-being is at stake, so it shouldn't really matter. The more you look at psule kurva in formal terms, right? So what you might say is, who are the dinei Torah in this sechsuch, in this disagreement, right? Who are the prime, protagonists here? Clearly, the Malva Velova are the prime protagonists. Is the Arev a prime protagonist? So the more you look at Arvus as a backup, and especially as a separate Eschaivus, which you might say, okay, I mean, there might be consequences, but this Din Torah is about the Mil Malva Velova and the fate of the Mil Malva Velova. What does it have to do with the Arev? Right? He's got a Hahiyano interest, he's got his Chaivus interest. But if you say that the Arev is a co, right, or a virtual, or a Bimokom, those are also different, by the way, right? Lova, those are three different ways to say it. But the more you say that he's a Lova of some sort, either together with, you know, or in place of, the backup of, or separately, or a second level, however you want to say it. Like, would the Havamina of the Gemara have said differently if it was a Kablan or a Mimisha Irza, Ephra? I'm not sure. Depends on how you understand those things, too. But there's another interesting Machlokas in that context, which I don't think I told you to look at. Anybody know it? Well, we had it in Sanhedrin. We had it. Yeah. So Rashi says that the Eloi Betuvia, Kraved Arva, that the Din Torah was about the Halva. And the Ravid, in the Hasagos al Arif, right, says that it's the Din Torah is about the Piron, not about the Halba. So the Ramban and the Balamor, and they have the whole big discussion. We did it last year or something, right?
I don't think that.
Sure we did. Well, why did we?
Again, Deborah, I'm saying, I don't think it's the Ramban and the Balamor and everything there that we discussed.
We didn't go into all the details, but I definitely, it was definitely on the Marmar Kovos, so I definitely discussed the bigger the issues on it. Meaning, the question is, do you say Palgina Dibure or Eidisha Batla Mitzasa Batla Kula in that case? Right? It's part of a larger question. Classical Eidisha Batla Mitzasa Batla Kula is Nimsechem Em Karva Pasel. You have a Gabra Eid Pasel. What if you have part of the Eidus is Pasel and part is not? Nothing to do with the people. Not one of the Kats. But part of the Chefta Shel Eidus, or part of the applied Eidus, those are some of the distinctions we were talking about last year. So this is the right, it says it applies to, but is it possible? So that's what some of the Rishonim say, it's about, because, Pagin and Dibure, if it's on the Halva part, it's got to be on the Piron, it's got to be something that's already, but you might say that it's an issue in Arvus, meaning this question, whether an Arev is a protagonist, whether he's a Lovat, it might be a difference between a Din Torah on the Yitziras HaHalva or on the Piron of the Halva. Right? That could be exactly what the debate is all about. In light of this, it raises another question. How do we treat, with regard to this question, of Batla Mitzasa Batla Kula versus Palgina Dibure, and with regard to other questions, how do we treat an Arev vis-a-vis, right, parallel kind of issues, like if you have two lovin, right, things like ilaki lishtalume mihai mishtalme mihai, you have two lovin, usually they have a 50-50 obligation. Let's say one guy can't pay, right, like it's like two mazikin, two lovin, with regard to financial obligations, or with regard to things like pagin and dibure and batla mitzasa batla kula. Are they a unit? Are they together? Can you separate them? Right? What is the level of their obligation? You have this all over the place. Any kind of shutfus situation, right? To malvin, to lovin, to shomrim, right? So you have this all over the place, but it doesn't mean, in parallel, it doesn't mean that the details are the same. We're mechalek, often, when it comes to batel mitzasa, when it comes to financial compensation and so on. Right? There's a difference between bazik, maybe even between different types of bazikin. So what I'm asking is, when you have the paradigm of two lovin, is that the same as the paradigm of two arevs? Or a lova and an arev? Right? With regard to these issues? All these are questions and more that are dependent upon a precise understanding of how Arev works. So I just want to finish up with the local material and some other things, then move on to Eved Kanani on Sunday.